Critical Issues in Biblical Counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. Today on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Ernie Baker. He's a fellow with ACBC and the senior adult pastor at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And he also serves as director of training with Overseas Instruction and Counseling. And he's the chairman of the undergraduate degree program in biblical counseling at the Master's University. He's married to Rose, and they have 6 children, 5 of which are married, and they have 14 grandchildren. He's the author of a number of books and articles, including being the editor of the new Critical Issues in Biblical Counseling series by Shepherd Press, which is exactly what we're going to talk about today, Ernie. I'm so grateful for you, brother, and looking forward to the rest of this series coming out and looking forward to our conversation today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dale. I always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, really looking forward to our discussion today. I've been excited about the 2 books that have come out so far in this series, and you've worked tirelessly on these things. You have written one, and Heath has written another, and there are a few more to come out that I'm excited about. Talk just for a second about the motivation of these books and the particular need to have discussion that these books will address.
Well, we all know that there are discussions going on in the broader biblical counseling world about what we believe. And we have been concerned for a while about how to address these in ways that especially people in ACBC training can understand. And we'll talk more about the target audience, but I was really motivated to help people in our phase 2 training understand the issues and be discerning. And then we all know that the mental health world in the United States is in question. There's a lot of questions being raised. And so we wanted to help people understand what are the issues. And I think another thing I would add is people are on the line. It's all about people. Everybody wants to help people. So the 2 great commandments, how do we love God and how do we love others? And it's really a deep motivation of my soul to glorify the Lord. So I hope and pray that the whole series glorifies the Lord. It would be hard to explain to you how many times I've committed the series to the Lord and said, Lord, I hope your name is glorified through this series. And we really want to help people because precious people are on the line here. And there's so many different theories right now about how to help people.
Yeah, well said. There are definitely critical issues that are abundant right now, causing all sorts of splintering and division in some ways. What I pray for is clarity in these days. You know, certainly room to disagree, but making sure that those disagreements are clear and where those points of tension are, and then how we think differently about those and to have these discussions in a way that are very helpful. Now, it's always important. I teach my students this, whether at the master's level or doctoral level. It's always important when you read books to understand the context in which they come in, because there's typically discussion that's happening that's been a burden of the author in some way that can bring in, you know, their perspective into what's going on in the culture at large. And it's important not only to understand that context, but also the audience that the author is writing to, because that would change the way in which, you know, the author is trying to communicate, and not to misread the authors as if they're trying to communicate to a different audience. So talk a little bit about the target audience of this particular series where you're addressing critical issues.
I already mentioned that I was thinking about the ACBC phase 2 exam person in particular. So what I've been telling the other authors is think of a serious lay reader and someone who's not afraid to think a little more deeply, but we don't want it to be so academic that it's overwhelming. So what we're trying to do, and we don't want them to be so thick that someone looks at a book and says, I can't ever get through that book. So we're aiming in the 14,000 to 18,000 word range, which is like a chapter and a half of an academic book. And we are thinking of a serious lay reader, but we're putting extensive footnotes in case somebody wants to do more research on their own. So we want them to be highly documented. They could even be used for training in our training centers, or I'm hoping students in Bible colleges, seminaries will use them to just help sharpen their thinking on these issues. And the first two topics were chosen because they are foundational type of issues that are going, questions that are going on in the broader biblical counseling world. I've had people in our church have read them, and I even had a professor at Masters University read my book on the psychologies and say, I did not understand that the psychologies were so philosophical. And I thought that was fascinating, and I was very thankful. He thanked me for the book, and he said, I'll think differently about the psychologies now.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I think there are some topics that certainly need to be addressed and covered. And, you know, as I tell my students when they walk in the door on the first day, you know, the goal of this class is not that I replicate myself. The goal of this class is that I want to present what's at stake and asking the right questions appropriately so that you can do what you're doing on purpose, land where you land on purpose in a certain direction. And you've chosen in this series to address some of those critical issues and to make argumentation in one direction reasonably, right? And I think that's helpful. I want you to talk for just a second on particular titles that are out now. There are two titles that have been released and some others that are coming. Why did you choose? Because when you're setting this up as an editor, you sort of choose, okay, I want to address some of these topics in a particular order, if at all possible. Why did you choose the two topics that have been released up front in this series?
Well, mine is Biblical Counseling and the Psychology. So the titles will always be Biblical Counseling and. So Biblical Counseling and the Psychologies, and then Heath's is Biblical Counseling and Common Grace. And then the next one coming out is Biblical Counseling and Mental Health Diagnosis. And I'll talk more about that one in a little bit. But Biblical Counseling and the Psychologies, I think, is just foundational. And it's based upon a way of thinking that I was taught by David Pallison. And I just consider it in the kind providence of God that he allowed me to study under David Pallison and to have many conversations with him about issues. Quite frankly, I've been surprised that this system of thinking has not gotten more traction. I haven't seen it written about anywhere other than where I've been writing about it in books. I did not see articles where this system of thinking was used, and it was extremely helpful for me to analyze counseling systems using, he taught us six criteria, and then I added a seventh criteria thanks to my friend Jen Chen. She found it very helpful when I went through these in my theology of counseling class at Masters University. It really helped her say, yeah, it's exactly true. And I've had conversations with psychologists out in the secular world and used these seven areas to discern their counseling system. And it was just extremely helpful. And they admitted, yes, that's a good way to think about counseling systems. So my burden is to help people be discerning, and I can either do fishing for people and continue to evaluate every counseling system for people, or I can teach them how to fish. And in my book, I'm trying to teach them how to fish so that we can grow in discernment of there's always a new fad. There is always a new system, always new therapies. And how do you think about these through biblical lenses? So I guess the one statement I would make about the context, the media context, is in biblical counseling with my heritage with Jay Adams and then David Pallison, I've been taught to think about how do we interact with the psychologies. But now in the biblical counseling world, it seems that there are people moving toward the psychologies when people in the psychologies are in the mental health world are even questioning their system, their own system. So I want people to be confident in the Word of God as a way to discern belief systems. Heath's book, it's obvious if anybody's been following the issues, the issue of common grace is extremely significant. And the pivot point there, to get a little technical, the view of Herman Bavinck versus Cornelius Van Til, and people are using a broader Reformed epistemology to try to understand people and problems. And because of Bavinck's view of common grace, it allows for a broader view of what methodologies you can use. Well, there was a reason why what I would call, and in my book, I call it historic presuppositional biblical counseling. There's a reason why Jay Adams and David Pallison, they were taught by Van Til or Vantillian thinking. And so they had a narrower view of common grace. And I just wanted people to realize that in my book. And Heath is in his book is saying, your view of common grace does not need to denigrate in any way the view of the sufficiency of Scripture. And while we can honor and uphold the beauty of the doctrine of common grace, we still need to understand that Scripture says about itself that it is sufficient. And so he's arguing for the sufficiency of Scripture while still being thankful for the discoveries of science, etc. And he uses a case study to do so to help people understand. And I also, in my book, I use a case study to help people understand. So those are the first two, and I think of them as foundational. They seem to be cutting edge issues in my mind of what's going on in the culture and the biblical counseling world. So I wanted those two books to be foundational.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think your approach to how you see these things and the framework that you use is critical as we think biblically about the psychologies and the philosophies that come or that build the certain psychologies, and then certainly common grace and how we think, you know, either expansively or a little bit more limited in how we understand our view of common grace. And he certainly addresses that head on as you do the psychologies in those two books. I've read both of those. I would certainly recommend both of those. And those are the two books in the series that are out already. Now, we've talked about this as being a broader series, and there are some more titles to come. You mentioned one of those in regard to mental health, which I think is a hot topic. As you mentioned, the ideas of mental health are not monolithic. If I could just explain this very quickly, you have psychologists who think one thing, you've got psychiatrists who think another thing, and they're sort of at war right now in one being biased toward therapy and really bringing out to the forefront really the devastation that modern medicine has done in the world of psychiatry, that it's not been as hopeful as what many people thought back in the 90s and early 2000s. Whereas on the other side with psychiatry, they're still hoping that we're going to find something that can be, you know, helpfully explained in the brain and finding neurological discoveries and so on. So you've got these guys warring back and forth, and none of them are without their own biases, but it's not a monolithic narrative where it's like, oh man, they have their science so together and we need to figure it out. It's actually a discipline where you're seeing, you know, high level psychiatrists saying, you know, we need to know where to go next. We don't know what's next. We're gonna start talking about different evidence-based instead of criteria-based perspectives on how we go. I just read an article this past week, Ernie, that was really interesting about what's happening in Parliament in the UK, where they have this program, they're calling it Beyond Pills. And the basic idea is they're questioning the whole pursuit of mental health as it currently stands in the NHS, which is really interesting when you understand sort of the narrative that's happening more broadly. And it is quite fascinating to watch this happen. And now you've got a government that's even getting involved saying, listen, we've got to pump the brakes here. People are not getting better. They're getting worse. We're overprescribing to the point to where it's not being something that actually alleviates the problem we're trying to fix. It's actually contributing to it in a very unhealthy way. And it's a really interesting narrative that's developing. So if you're following some of that literature, it's quite interesting, which I think is why the timing of some of these critical issues is so important right now. I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe this is the last thing we'll talk about today, but give an opportunity to talk about some of the upcoming titles. I'm excited to see some of the new titles that you guys are working on to address some of the critical issues. I mentioned the one on mental health. You can elaborate on that. And then some of the other ones that you see coming forward in the days to come.
Dr. Jen Chen, who is more than qualified to talk about the mental health world, is an ACBC certified counselor. She loves the sufficiency of Scripture, and she spent over two decades working in the LA mental health system as a clinical psychologist. She has a neuroscience background. She entered into the mental health world under the DSM-3, and she left under DSM-5. And she is writing to help people understand what is being said at the academic level about the DSM. They actually would like to do away with it. And it seems so ironic to me that some people in the biblical counseling world want to move toward the DSM, while people in the secular academic realm want to move away from the DSM. And Jen is trying to give readers an academic perspective on what the DSM is, what it can do and can't do, what areas might be accurate in the DSM. So she's really honest about that, of what where there might be evidence biologically, which is very few of the hundreds of categories in the DSM. And then at the end, she gives people confidence in the Word of God that you don't need the DSM to be an effective biblical counselor. And I really think that biblical counselors need that shot in the arm right now, because there's so much mental illness, mental health talk in our culture. And I'm even running into it internationally. The Philippines is starting to be saturated with mental health talk. I was in Brazil. They're being saturated with mental health talk. I taught in East Africa recently, and they're being saturated with mental health talk. And the timing of the book really couldn't be better. I wish it was out 2 weeks ago, but it's coming very soon. So that's Biblical Counseling and Mental Health Diagnosis. It'll be available in fall of 24. And then we have Biblical Counseling in the Body coming out by a physician who's ACBC certified. We have Biblical Counseling and the Brain that we're starting to work on. And there's some, and I'm not a neuroscientist in any way, even though I'm fascinated by the subject, but my friend Eric Everhart, who is a neuropsychologist at East Carolina University, he's going to write the neuroscience part of what is true, what's false, how do you tell pseudoscience? And he's really concerned about all the claims being made, like things like amygdala hijacking and Broca's area of the brain being shut down. And he was on in May of 23, when I was on with you, he came on and talked. And so we're co-authoring that book, Biblical Counseling in the Brain. He's going to do the brain part. I'm going to do the theology part of the book. And then I just started talking to our brother, Lance Quinn, and he's going to do one on biblical counseling and foundations and talk about try to explain Van Til in a way that's understandable, and how Van Til influenced Adams and David Pallison. So those are the ones that are in the works right now or will be written very soon.
Well, that's great. And I'm looking forward to Dr. Everhart being with us at the ACBC Colloquium this summer, presenting on some of the ideas that you're describing here. I'm really looking forward to that challenge from someone who works in the field every day as a professor, but also in research with his doctoral students. It was a delight to have him on the podcast in the past, and I'm looking forward to, you know, our discussion that's going to happen at Colloquium coming up this summer. Ernie, this has been really helpful. These are certainly days where, you know, we have to address some of the critical issues, and we want to do that in a way that's gracious and biblically grounded, certainly being aware of the research that's happening more broadly, but looking at it through a distinct lens that corrects us all, which is the scripture, and it helps us to see who we really are from God's perspective, which is what matters. And so I'm grateful for the burden the Lord has given you to help produce some of these things and to organize this. Grateful to Shepherd's Press for their involvement as well to produce these works. Ernie, thank you for your time again, and appreciate the time today as well.
Thanks, brother.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, I'm so grateful for Ernie and his work here. I'm grateful for Shepherd's Press and their willingness to engage in this discussion in biblical counseling, addressing critical issues right now in the movement. You know, we were able to provide these first two volumes to leaders in ACBC, and we were able to do that because of wonderful and gracious donors to our organization. I'm so grateful for those who partner with ACBC, many of you very diligently and faithfully every month. And I want to encourage you, if you've been wanting to be a partner with ACBC, allow us to provide wonderful content and resources like this podcast and like these books and resources that we can commend to others and keep people up to speed. I want to encourage you to become a partner with ACBC, and you can find our donor button on our homepage at biblicalcounseling.com.